This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumisole, and you can catch me on Twitter at Dumisole.
You know, all I'm going to say to you, Siasine, is I know exams are showing you flames when you're playing gospel. Dumelang bagaitso le kae.
Yeah, no, exams are exams, hey? But, you know, the Phirima Konutu is actually very pregnant. Given the timeline from yesterday, we actually missed Sunday Twitter, and it dropped yesterday and today, and it's just pity on the timeline and today.
I missed the timeline.
You don't want to go there.
My name is Katleho, and my Twitter handle is @handful_k. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
And you can hit us up and tag @countryduty.za. Use #countryduty. And also tag @cliffcentral.com so that we can see your tweets and respond to them. And do give us a call. Our studio line is 0861-555-189.
You had to learn it. I was away.
I've been here.
And yeah. Our WhatsApp number is 0797482090.
Yeah. How have you been? It's been a while that we did the show together and we're here now.
It has and been a while.
How are things?
Oh man, it's been crazy. It's been so crazy. But exciting things are happening. So really, really good about that.
Yeah. No, good to hear. And yeah, it's been also hectic on my end.
I know.
You know, exams are exams, hey? I don't know. I put myself in this thing that I want to do a second degree and it's showing me flames, but we'll get there.
But you'll be fine.
We hope so. We want to see that Vets Great Hall next year sometime, probably July or something. But we shall push. But impossible is nothing. Over and above that, there's just been so many things that's been happening. I think insofar as stats are concerned, what's been topical for you? And we can talk about our topic for tonight and ask our listeners to join us.
I actually thought you were going to catch me up on what I missed on the timeline.
But what have you been up to? I mean, seriously.
Oh really?
I was studying,
really?
And I know what's been happening on the timeline. And
when
I was
like, "Really? No, some of us don't live on Twitter, hey? Because I mean, there's actual work that needs to be done off Twitter on the street.
Of course, SG, and it's important that the work is done, and we get the convo going and stuff. I see, Ngamalala is at the Kosas launch there, and he sent out the warning to say, you know, people must stop talking about him because there are other bigger things and he doesn't want to be pissed off. That's our former president, Jacob Zuma.
How does he even have time to keep up with those things? Isn't he like starting his own party somewhere?
But he's already said that that's nonsense, and people who are alleging that he's starting his own party don't know him. He's an ANC through and through. So we will see. I think he's on a campaign trail of some sort, but time will tell.
I don't even know why we're still talking about our former president, but okay.
Because elections are upon us.
I mean, we're supposed to be speaking about the new dawn, which is like very much failing us. I mean, yesterday petrol was up by 86 cents. It's now at 16 rand.
You know, and I don't think people actually realize the consequences. I know we talk about it on the timeline in passing and stuff, but it's really going to have a ripple impact.
It does, because the food prices are going to go up. Already, petrol, taxi fares are going to be going up.
Indeed.
Taxi fares haven't been up in a very long time.
This is the thing.
There's so many things that is just going to, on top of the VAT increases that have now made everything go up. Now we've also got the petrol prices that are going up, and it's so scary.
But for me, and this is the thing. What are our leaders doing about this? Because I can tell you what it appears as is they are imposing, or rather they are trying to mitigate, but effectively it's us, the consumers, at the end who are on the receiving end. And you know, it seems like we are tied up and there's nothing we can do. In progressive countries, people shut down and they hold the powers that be. I saw a tweet, in fact it was retweeted by Kananelo. Auntie Sekgwale, quoting someone who had said, listen, South Africa, we are basically you know, susceptible to this nonsense, and we appreciate it. In the US, people hold a congressional hearing to find out why is petrol so expensive, why are people really going through such a difficult time, and our leaders are not really bothered.
No, we just log on to Twitter, and you know, the educational the experts there on Twitter will tell you that it's because taxes have been added on and levies and whatever other special stuff that we're on to increase the fuel price to this extent. It's
That's true, and it's very unfortunate. But
so apparently it's been linked, rumor has it, that it's been linked to the fact that this is where the source of free education is coming from, and also because of the cancellation of, what's that other, ETOLs. So obviously now government needs more revenue, and so they're getting their revenue from increasing petrol, which then also then contributes to the fuel levy. But doesn't fuel levy just go to infrastructure of the roads? Isn't it just limited to that?
I hear you, but I don't think, you know, I don't think that's correct. I mean, I'm not an economist or anything, but there are just other factors, the market, the oil prices, exchange rates and stuff that...
So the Ramaphosa theory is over.
Yeah, you know, someone, I think it was Mpiedana who said, you know, this new door is starting with our pockets, and we're not sure if this is what we asked for. So we miss you, Ngamalala. Where are you?
I don't know, kidding, sir.
I'm not missing him. He kept us up so much that we did what we could, we're here now, and we're going to do whatever it takes to restore confidence. More importantly, to ensure that people are out there and supporting causes, because at the end of the day, you know, we can't be a country that's passive and be drawn on political lines. We must take active actions and hold the powers that be to account, and that's why hashtag Country Duty is here to stay, and we ask that you also share your ideas and ensure that we take this forward.
True. Say.
And I think it's important also to send a shout out to students who are still writing exams. We are with you in spirit. We see you in the early hours of the morning, where instead of studying, you are on Twitter, and you know that app is addictive. I'm telling you now, do not take a study break and go onto Twitter. You'll be there for over an hour or so. The timeline is not your friend, especially during exams. Some of us are learning this lesson very hard. All the best, and do us proud. We want to see a host of people on the grad, and ensuring that we take our country forward.
On Twitter grad.
100%. There's nothing that excites me than seeing people graduate and families celebrating and stuff. There's also one thing in particular as to how black people also celebrate these type of things. I mean, graduations is a family affair. You know, it becomes so big and momentum. And I think we must keep it going.
Yeah.
And it says to us as well that after graduation, there's always the what next. And that's why we need to be collaborating with the state, with the private sector, and ensuring that we get graduates in the job market. I think we need to also just start a campaign of dealing with this nonsense called stipends for graduates. I think that's nonsense.
So what mates and they must get a salary?
I think stipend, to a certain extent, is insulting on two fronts. I mean, clearly, it's legislated. There's a certain function that goes through the levy, the skills development levy and stuff. And you find a graduate, people, some of them have masters, and you give them 6,000 rand. Now, filter in the petrol increase, filter in the VAT increase, filter in the inflation that's upcoming, and all those things. And then black tax on its own. What are you going to do with 6,000 rand? That's, for example, for a master's. Now, you
for
need to...
masters, they get a stipend. Isn't
some in, industries provide for that, and also, I mean, people are out there studying so hard and they don't get into the job market, and unfortunately unemployment of graduates is something very important, and I think we need to really start having a different conversation with the private sector, more importantly the state. I think the fact that this thing is legislated and you know, it's just okay for a tick box exercise, they'd rather start a proper employment services where graduates get in, get the experience, and we compensated properly. This thing of stipends, I think, although it may well assist, but it doesn't do anything from a real change perspective, and it must be looked into.
That's very true, but I mean, we already know that that's not going to happen, or that it's a very long way still to go, because you look at the current proposal that has been, or even it's, I don't think it's a proposal anymore. It's been adopted, isn't it? The minimum wage.
Oh, that thing. I mean, you saw the DA actually opposed a minimum wage of 3,800 per month.
You know, it would be nice if they were opposing it for more.
Well, in their view, what they're saying is minimum wage will result in job losses, and therefore there shouldn't be any minimum wage, which I think is actually ridiculous. 3,800 is also little. More importantly, in instances where people really can't make end meet, the discussion should rather be how do we increase it and ensure that it is sustainable. Now, imagine the minimum wage, which is 20 rand per hour. The petrol increase. So the taxi fare is going to increase. Someone is getting 3,800, you know, and all those other things from food to bread. And how, you see how it's becoming disastrous and nothing's happening.
It's a knock-on effect.
So we're really going to see crap, and I think we really need to be doing things differently. And in my view, I really hope that one day we'll get there and get it right. Unfortunately, also, the political indifferences are also leading to issues of, you know, important issues not being addressed. And there's always political squabbles, and we're not dealing with proper things. Our listeners, please do join our discussion. 079-748-2090 via WhatsApp.
Call us on 0861-555-189. Tag us at Dumisole, at handful underscore K, at Country Duty ZA.
And please use the hashtag as well so that we can pick up your tweets and engage with us. I think our show today is going to be is different for various reasons. Statistically speaking, we are, I think, since the beginning of 2018 at the very least, and these are insofar as reportable cases, we're looking at over 68, if not 65, people, women in particular, who have died through gender-based violence and femicide. And the question really is there enough that's been done by the powers that be? Is femicide being prioritized by the state? And in your view, are they doing enough, or it's just really one of those things that is happening and ultimately we will get there, but just not now? Send us your comments and views, as the SG has said, on 079-748-2090 via WhatsApp. On Twitter, use hashtag Country Duty. We'll pick it up. Tag at Country Duty ZA at cliffcentral.com, and we'll be able to engage and hear what you're saying.
We'll be right back.
Great stuff. Just before we'll be right back and we break for a musical break, the hashtag also to use is Country Duty Against Femicide. Use both Country Duty and Country Duty Against Femicide. That would be, you know, for the build-up to the protest that we'll discuss just after the break. More importantly, for us to be able to get your views and ensure that we align and have that particular discussion. We'll be right back.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Country Duty Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dumisole, and I'm joined in studio. My co-host, the honorable leadership. what? Let me just let it go. Hello.
Hi, Sole. My name is Katlego. My Twitter handle is at handful underscore K. I am that proud Motswana woman.
Thank you, Sabong. We would like to get your views and comments on whether the state is, or the powers that be, prioritizing gender-based violence and femicide. Do you tweet us using hashtag Country Duty and hashtag Country Duty Against Femicide. Provide solutions and critique. Call us on 0861-555-189 or send us your WhatsApp messages to
079-748-2090.
Great stuff. And yeah, just before we took a break, we just outlined a few stats, very concerning. As I said, we are now sitting at over 68 reported and known cases of females dying at the hands of their so-called lovers. I don't understand, if you love someone, why would you even kill them? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's very scary, actually, what's going on right now. And I think the call is to the men of South Africa, all the men of South Africa, that step up. Like, we had a hashtag that was going on about men being trash. And instead of actually acknowledging and listening and hearing the women's cries and the women's pleas about needing to be protected and needing to be safe or feel safe, we instead had a defense attack or a defense system that came back out to say, yeah, but it's not all men. But in actuality, it's all men, because those who are not abusing their women or who want to be given a platform to explain why they are not abusing their women, because, I mean, men get to explain why they are not abusing their women. That is just crazy. It's a whole mindset. It's a whole societal issue that we need to attend to, that we need to talk to. And a lot of the people who are partnering up with us have actually come out to say they're going to be doing more than just this march. So this is just going to be the beginning of it for them. There's going to be organizations and NGOs and groups that are set up where men can also go and speak up about whatever issues that they are having or whatever issues that they're facing. So they have like a different kind of man's club than you have the locker room talk, you know, where we're going to be sitting down and having real life solutions that are not violent.
Yes.
And that are much more, I don't know, effective and efficient, and that a man-to-man talk can kind of reach the younger generation, the older generation, the in-between generation. I don't know what you guys call that.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. And I think you're right, because most of these issues really go to the mindset, as you correctly pointed out. Patriarchy is quite embedded in us. And I would also like to believe that this issue of femicide and gender-based violence, it's not limited to black people.
No.
And I can tell you the only reason that the perception is that and it's seen as it's only black, only, it's because, you know, black pain sell newspapers. Black pain is what you'd see on ratings and TVs. It is known, and there's research. And I think these are some of the stuff that we'll be treating, you know, the next coming weeks, relating to statistics, be it by race or otherwise, just to get the conversation going relating to gender-based violence and femicide. And we need also to discuss the family, you know, concept insofar as gender-based violence and the likes coming in.
Mm.
And would like to hear your views. I mean, in most instances, families in circumstances where there's an abuse, they will tell you that Mosadi wa
kwatle.
And that can never be.
You know, actually, I don't know, in my kohai, when they say that Mosadi o tshwara thipa ka mo bogaleng, they, my mom and my aunts, because we're just a family of women, when they explained it to me, they said to Jorge, when times are tough and you have to make difficult decisions, as the woman of the house, you're the one who sits down and you make those decisions.
Yeah.
The budget cuts that have to be done, the sacrifices that have to be done. It was never about sitting and letting a man beat you to your death.
100%.
So that, I think it's also the misinterpretation of the rules and cultural teachings that have been done. It's the same thing with gore ha re o ontsitse magadi, so now o rekile mosadi, or that's not.
So there's that culture of entitlement.
Yes,
that we purchase women and
we have a right.
We therefore have a right to assault and we see them insofar as they are goods and services, and we can basically do what we want with them.
Because a woman must be subservient. But a woman can only be submissive to a man who respects her. And I'm sorry, but if you're going to be hitting a woman or killing a woman, it's lack of respect.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, as I said, the family concept and what we or women get told when they get into marriages or relationships that they must hold on and stuff. I say you don't have to do it. Your holding on may well result in your death. And nonsense is nonsense, and it must end. And there are initiatives and institutions where you can, you know, contact people, be it anonymously or otherwise, and ensure that you speak out and get out. Last week, while Iman was launching his show, while I was at Power FM, I got a DM, interestingly, where, and really also it relates to gender-based violence and these type of attacks and femicide. A student at Walter Sisulu University sent a DM. They said, listen, there's an emergency and we really need assistance because there's this guy who actually is a member of South African National Defence Force, quite abusive, and is known to have beat up a student there because they were in a relationship before, and this guy is coming to assault and take this lady. And what happened there was that the three roommates, friends of this lady, because of them fearing, they left. And this gentleman who stayed in one of the students, and I really applaud him, sent a DM and said, I'm going to have to stay with this lady and a friend of mine and see how it goes. I'm taking a stance against gender-based violence and femicide. And the only thing that he asked was, please help me get help and see how this thing could be known. And me being in Joburg and this thing happening in Mthatha, you then ask yourself, how do you get the message out there? You know, and what can you do with whatever resources, limited or otherwise, at your disposal to ensure that there's ultimate action? And what happened there, and this is the beauty of Twitter and technology as well, one of the most recommended, and we don't necessarily advertise apps and stuff, but if it's something that can save your life, be it female or otherwise, I would highly recommend that you download is the Namola app. I had that app. I had not used it when I was asking these questions to say, give me the place, give me the room number, and the description of what may happen or what you're looking at. I got onto the app and immediately I reported and I clicked the button and I said, I'm reporting a crime. I promise you, within less than 10 seconds, I got a call from Natasha at Namola and said, what is your emergency? What's happening? At the time, I was able to describe the situation as I received it on the DM and stuff. While I was speaking, she was recording it, and someone was dialing SAPS and Mthatha. I explained that there's a gentleman who has a gun. It's not a gentleman because he's a fucker. I mean, he has a gun and he's assaulting, so we can't really call him a gentleman because he's an abuser. It's as simple as that. You know, and they called in SAPS, and I asked the gentleman via DM to keep calm and just keep me updated. And all these things were happening within a space of an hour. And I think people also thought that I was being antisocial, but there was just something that's happening that needed, you know, updates and keeping people calm and stuff like that. And SAPS really rose to the occasion. And I think once they realized that there was a gun involved and there was a potential of a kidnapping because this guy came in, took this lady, beat up some of the friends, which they were bleeding, and dragged this lady throughout to Caltex in Mthatha. Ultimately, what then happened is SAPS apprehended him and he's then detained. And as I said, with the power of Twitter, more importantly, the Namola app, which I said I highly recommend, it actually could result in your life being saved. You know, we were able to assist and ensure that that lady does not become a statistic. Interestingly, and fast forward, because we need to obviously keep our listeners updated and everyone else who follows the story, I got a DM as well. The people in the military, and obviously we strive on confidentiality. You're not going to disclose names, and that's how, you know, we do things at Country JT, and we ask that you also share information, be it confidential or otherwise. We will sensitize it, we'll verify it and check. They ultimately found out who this person was. He was reported as such, and this guy is going to be discharged from the military because it doesn't represent what soldiers need to do to protect and defend. And ultimately, you know, it must be dealt with, and we really can't have double standards when it comes to these type of things. So I want to just say shout out to the people who retweeted that, who ensured that they were also calming the situation down. And sometimes when you tweet these urgent things, it's not really about retweets. We are over that trending stuff. But other than firstly to create awareness and ensure that if you find yourself in the same or similar position, there are lessons to be learned, and you are able to at least act calmly, although it may be a very frightening situation, but you're in a position to at least spread awareness. And that's how and why we are, you know, having hashtag Country Duty. And what are we doing with Country Duty Against Femicide? What is it?
So Country Duty Against Femicide is a stand that we're taking against all the crime and the killings of the genocide, actually, against women. We are going to be hosting the march on the 13th of June, 2018. That's next week, Wednesday. And we're going to be marching from Nelson Mandela Bridge to the offices of the Department of Community Safety in Marshalltown, in CBD, on Pritchard, how do you say it?
Pritchard
Street. The march is going to be a silent march. So there's going to be no songs being sung. It's going to be just a whole lot of South African citizens marching from the bridge to the offices. And we're going to be handing over a memorandum of proposals that the Department of Community and Safety can look into partnering with all the other partners who have come on board and supported us tremendously.
Yeah, I hear you and I understand why it would be a silent march and stuff. You know, I hold a different view, and I think we can just do both. And we'll discuss this with our partners on Friday when we have our planning meeting and stuff. I think women are generally silent when it comes to these issues. Society actually expect them to be silent. And we need to, I think, when we protest, we can take a proactive approach. Perhaps for the next 15, 20 minutes of the protest, become silent, because governments and authorities' silence is actually loud. And the rest of the time, while we must actually vocalize, we must chant, stop femicide, stop gender-based violence. Give those women a voice. And the people who are, you know, do not have a voice and it's constrained and stuff. But as I said, it's something worth considering, and we can always have options and stuff. And we ask our listeners to also send us their suggestions using the hashtag Country Duty Against Femicide, tag @handful_K, @dumiso@countryduty.za@cliffcentral.com, so that we can pick up your tweets and ensure we incorporate your ideas and stuff. I mean, one of the things that we asked is are the authorities doing enough, and what is it that should be done? And one of the people said, listen, this nonsense must stop, and we must bring back the death penalty. What is your view?
It's very tricky. And the only reason that I say that it's tricky is because of something that you said to me the last time that we did the show together, where a man was two men, right, who were incorrectly sentenced because a woman lied and said that they had raped her, I think.
Yeah.
And then they ended up spending 26 years in jail. And 26 years later, then she came out to say, actually, they didn't do it.
Yeah, it was a story from in the United States and what it means. And that's very unfortunate.
So now in a case where the death penalty was in play,
yeah,
there is nothing that can be done to now. Not that there's much that can be done now to reverse the 26 years.
Yes.
But if a person is dead, there's less that can be done.
100%. So effectively, there ought to be a balancing exercise. The Constitutional Court was, you know, did not mince its words when it basically declared the death penalty unconstitutional, because I think they were quite forward-looking. They looked at what this is and the potential of such things happening. And we see you, Kambule, on the suggestion of the death penalty and stuff, but it would be unlawful and constitutional. We are a constitutional democracy, and we can never have that. But as we said, we need to find proactive solutions to this type of problems. We can't just tweet and vocalize on Twitter.
So this is why we now then also have the groups and organizations that are going to be coming together.
Who do you have, and what would be their role?
So we have Ezekiel.
Yes.
Ezekiel is coming in from the church side. So he's
interesting. Kim Ruthi.
Hasim Ruthi, but he's an avid churchgoer.
Charismatic church.
He's coming in. A lot of these people we actually haven't met. So we've only been speaking to them via telephone, via emails and stuff. But what he would like to see going forward is a concerted effort where people and the churches actually come out to support men and who are frustrated and don't know how to express their emotions. So they are going to be offering support and is it therapy? Counseling to the gentlemen to the men who are facing difficult situations and so they're trying to change the narrative of that strong man, you know, not that we're saying that you must break a man down and he must be weakened, but no, to say that you can be in touch with your feelings and still be masculine, you know, and still be a man and still be respected. And they just want to come out and reach out to women to men who are in situations where they are frustrated within their relationships or within their families or within their communities, and offer them a safe space where they can speak without being judged, without being ridiculed, without being belittled, and they can be given empowering tools or ways of handling the situations that they're facing that is less violent, that is more communicative, and that is more solution-based. That's Ezekiel and his church group that's coming in. We've also got... I'm not sure if I can actually mention this person, but we've got a celebrity who's going to be in, who's also coming in with us. And yes, about Twitter, you guys are so mean. So you've already attacked the poor person before he's actually said what he wants
but
to
it's
do.
Not an attack. But can we let people criticize and do so properly? And sometimes we can't, you know, commend a fish for swimming. So in as much as one would have, you know, wronged the other, recognizing the stuff, it doesn't necessarily then make it okay. And I think there's a thin line between attack and critiquing. And in this instance, they say, what took you so long? And that's not an attack, but that's the necessity and the nice thing of having you know, diverse views and ensuring that we are there. So the potential celebrities that will be joining us,
I do, yes. But I also like to give props when somebody has done wrong and they want to come back and
100%.
Say, I'm sorry, yes. I did something wrong, 100%. And I'm trying to fix it. So we have a challenge that has been put out to people to say that you can also be the best male that you can be within your community, within your churches, within your home, within your schools, within your environment or your workplace. Wherever you are, that be that person who's going to actively stand up and protect women against any violent action that comes to them, be it emotional violence, be it physical violence. That if a woman, that you stand up and you take on that stance to say that, listen, I am not in my name, basically.
100%.
Not in my presence, not in my name. Yeah. Will this action or will a woman feel unsafe?
Yeah. And I mean, we should also, you know, not discount the roles of churches and stuff. Churches are also known to be harboring abusers.
They are.
And we must call them out as well. And we deal with it. And I think, you know, over and above this march, discussing gender-based violence and trying to deal with the scourge, it also opens up the conversation. I think the 13th of June will be monumental and will be important, and we ask that you join us. We're intending on having it in the afternoon for various reasons. Firstly, to ensure that you go to WMC and you can work half day. Mm-hmm. You come and join us, and you can't then say, but unpaid leave and stuff. So we really are considerate, and we're urging you to join us and ensure that you show your support. Could be your sister, relative, son, daughter, or anyone for that matter. Every day on Twitter, someone is missing.
Somebody's missing.
And there are retweets that are being requested and otherwise. And people are starting to see the importance and powerful impact of Twitter and social media. And we ask that take time out in the afternoon. We're intending to start at 3 at the Mandela Bridge from the south side, just by Jorison, and we're going to go via the bridge and get into Pritchard, pass by the pre-taxi rank. Let's make the necessary noise. Let's all show up and speak for the voiceless and ensure that our views are heard. And, you know, this will be a series of things that will be happening. Our partners who are coming in, they're also organizing a few things. And please go on to our handles and you'll see all the updates coming from there. Do send us your WhatsApp messages. Once again, there's a WhatsApp that just came through now. It says, authorities are not doing enough. South Africa is faced with an epidemic that is killing women and children. Women open cases against their, just reading it, against their partners, and dockets go missing. Perpetrators buy cases. The entire police system is so flawed and it ends up favoring perpetrators. Harsher sentences should be handed to these murderers. I could not agree, or rather argue against that. So there needs to be a proper overhaul. And thank you for sending your WhatsApp message. Although we didn't get your details, but we see you, and thank you for listening to the Country Duty Show on cliffcentral.com. DM us your handle or send a shout out on Twitter as well. We can follow you back. But this then really talks to a host of issues. Other than protesting and stuff, there needs to be education related to gender-based violence. And I'll tell you another story that also came up, and we also put it up on Twitter through hashtag Country Duty. And it had to do with Lebo, who shared her story on Facebook. Lebo was from Pretoria and was being abused by the husband. And I was actually studying at the time, and I was intending to go sleep because it was exam day. But I was just revising, not studying. Must get that right. 3:15, 3:20, get a DM tagged, in fact. If you're up, please call the police. I looked at this thing, and now, you know, my exam is at 9. I just need an hour to just to come down and stuff. And what do we do? I then got on to the relevant authorities. We got into the our Telegram group and I started making calls, and I said, you know, it's 3:30, people are sleeping and no one wakes up. And I asked the lady who actually DM'd us, I'll find a handler, and I still applaud her for her strong action. She was also up studying at the time. And, you know, I said, please keep Lebo on the phone. Lebo went into the bathroom after being abused by the husband, and she was bleeding, and what she only had was her cell phone. Took pictures, and the caption on Facebook at that time was, if anything was to happen to me, my husband is the first suspect. And at that time, you could see her lips were torn, and she was bleeding. And obviously, it was quite a graphic image. And I think that image is important. We cannot censor these things. Yeah. In fact, these things show the extent of how abuse has been normalized, and abuse must really fall. I mean, I think it's really fucked up, and we can't really beat about the bush. And the lady kept, you know, talking to Leva. I said, get the numbers. We'll try and reach out. We reached out to our partner, CCI Network, who will also be joining us at the Country Duty Against Femicide March. We're brilliant. You know, I called. They couldn't answer. But when I popped the DM, and someone picked it up, and ultimately, emergency rescue was dispatched. They were able to talk to Lebo at that particular time. But interestingly, when everything was happening, SAPS, because this was important, SAPS went there, and they knew about this. They got in, and guess what they said? And it's SAPS Mamelodi or somewhere. They spoke to the husband, they spoke to Lebo as well, and they said, listen, you know, you guys are having a disagreement. Would you please just clean the blood and resolve this as couples and go back to sleep?
But isn't that tampering with evidence? I mean,
over and above tampering with evidence is basically abdicating their duties. It's the most messed up, I'm about to swear, type of thing, because they did not do what they are required to do. They are constitutionally obliged to, in instances where there is an assault, arrest and detain and let the court determine whether this person has done it or not. And that's, you know, that's what they need to do. But what the cops did, especially in Lebo's case, is to perpetuate this patriarchy and abuse by actually telling her while she was seeking help to wipe the blood and effectively just send it out and clean herself up and discuss. Lebo could have died. We then had to intervene. We tagged everyone, because people were underground there. And ultimately, you know, because of CCI Network and our partners, they went there. There was ER and they were counseling people. Liv was ultimately, seen. She was then safe. And the gentleman went on the run.
You know what? This speaks a lot to the lack of training in sensitive issues such as this, even with the gender-based violence. Before you actually get to the point where it's a killing, with the missing people as well, such as was seen with the case of Katlego Moja.
Mokoena?
No, Katlego. Georgia. Katlego Georgia.
I'm just trying to think.
A little girl.
Oh, yes. From Pretoria as well, who was
autistic. The 48-hour waiting period. It has been said so many times that that does not apply. I remember an instance as well where I needed to go and have somebody reported as missing. And when I got to the police station, literally they said to me, this is something that the minister only said in the news, but has not come to us at the police stations.
Imagine.
To tell us. So I think...
how messed up is that?
A campaign or a roadshow where they go to the police stations and they say, listen, this is how, unfortunately, this is where the level of of tediousness that we need to get to, where you go to the actual police stations and you go and you tell the people during the training that this is how you handle a case of whatchamacallit, this is how you handle sensitive 100%. Cases, this is how you handle dangerous cases, this is how you handle a situation where a woman is calling you and she's got blood all over her face and all over her bathroom floor because she's been beaten up by her husband. You then arrest the person. Maybe there needs to be continuous based programs or training for police people, or the police, or the men in blue and women in blue, to say, don't forget, this is how we do it. Don't forget, this is how we do it.
So we've spoken and we touched on the need of a judicial overhaul. We're now talking about the subs and authorities that also, and becoming a theme here, where someone in authority will say this is the rule and people must abide by it, but the information is not trickled down to
the people
who are dealing with those things. So one of the things that we seek to do, and one of the demands that we'll be putting forward, is that SAPS and the powers that be need to partner with NGOs and all equipped institutions to understand what gender-based violence is, what questions to ask, how do they assist victims and staff, because that's very important and it needs to be said and people must be informed. And Mona Mamsi sends a WhatsApp and says, Dumelang Bagaetso, open brackets, this feels awkward since some dear guy is trademarking it. Is the community safety MEC office the right one, or are you shunning Batabile and the Ministry of the Women Affairs?
Can I please answer that?
Mona Mamsi, we see you, and thanks for listening in. You are always here, and we appreciate you. And Mona Mamsi actually is a patron of Country Duty as well, and has come on to the show to discuss legal issues as well. So although the WhatsApp message is funny and also touches the right spot, but it's true. Why are we going to community safety instead of somewhere else? SG?
So the reason we are going to the community safety officers is because of their vision and mission statement. It aligns with what we are asking them to do, with the proposals and the demands. I prefer the word proposals. Yes, demand sounds like we are being bossy.
Yes.
So the mission of the community safety is to ensure effective oversight over the provincial laws enforcement agencies, which is your police and other authority officials.
Yeah.
And they also are, their number one thing is to make the people of South Africa feel safe.
Yeah.
Right. So they're the ones that are responsible for the policing policies and agencies and all of that stuff,
right.
Implementing crime prevention initiatives,
yes.
Educating citizens about public safety, and forming a relationship between the community and the law enforcement agencies. So this is the reason why we have chosen to go to them, because what we want is to have South African citizens, South African women and children to feel safer when in the areas that they're in, their homes, the streets, their workplaces, wherever they're going, that they feel more comfortable, more safe, and do not have to keep looking over their shoulder whenever they're out and about.
Great stuff. So effectively, the Community Safety Department, as it's been explained, is the right one. They are able to, they're actually in the forefront, and they play a very important role, and that's why we're going to them. We're seeing a tweet from Not In My Name, where they've tagged at Women Protest SA. They're also organizing a total shutdown against gender-based violence on the 1st of August, and we will also tweet those details.
We'll
excuse
be in
me.
Touch with them as well.
And we also will be in touch with them and partner with them, I think, because we basically trying to bring awareness and ensure that it's not just on the 13th of July. These protests will ultimately be nationwide until the authorities act, and that's what we're asking for. One of the WhatsApp messages that we just got as well, from Tembi Dlamini, says, good evening, Country Duty. I'm responding to the question raised by Brother Dumi on whether our authorities prioritizing GBV and femicide. My answer is no, they are not. In fact, it seemingly doesn't exist to them. Can you imagine if they would have spoken about it? Have we not acquired platforms like Twitter? Women would be dying continuously with no intervention from certain individuals who are trying at best to compel our authorities to recognize the impact of femicide and GBV. Thank you for your comment, Tembi Dlamini, and I absolutely agree with you. We know that some abusers are still occupying positions of authority. And some ministers also tweet and say, but you know, you don't abuse, you know, even a woman has done that, you deal with her differently and stuff like that. So there's always that protectiveness and stuff, and we are thankful for the likes of you know, Twitter, and ensuring that we are dealing with these type of issues, and that being brought to the forefront. Bumble_TD says, thank you. I've just WhatsApp my views. This is a great topic. Thank you for listening in, and we can't wait to see you in the front line on the 13th of June. I see the
13th
look.
Of June, please.
Of course. # Country Duty against femicide. You know, every time we discuss important issues and getting views and messages like this, time suddenly is against us. But what we can assure you, however, is if you use #CountryDuty and #CountryDuty against femicide, and tag at CountryDutyZA and tag at Dumisole and Henfo_K, we will be able to pick up your comments and suggestions. We would want to consolidate those so that come the 13th, and when we have discussions with the authorities, they are known, and we take them to account. We also urge our listeners to also take a half day like we will be doing. We understand priorities, we understand what it means, but as I just said, could be your sister, neighbor, brother, sister, and cousin or relative. And can we stop violence against women? Can we stop femicide? In Kulumana and Magens, we are not perfect. I'm sitting behind the mic. I'm not perfect. But if there are issues, let's raise them and raise them appropriately. If you need to talk, there are counselors who are working partnership with Country Duty that we can always refer you to, and it becomes confidential. We receive a host of issues that we don't even tweet about in the timeline, and we deal with it via DM, and your confidentiality will be guaranteed. So do send us your details, shout outs, if you want to partner with us. We're also urging Corporate SA in particular to please also partner with us, show a stand. These are your colleagues, your employees who are impacted by the scourge, and we actually have over 40 million impressions on Twitter. It's free advertising, that much I can tell you. But you will be doing it for a good cause. Even if you were to come and give us water for over 1,000 or 3,000 people for the day, we'll be happy to punt and market you appropriately. And it's your opportunity to take a stance, and we ask that you partner with us. Mm.
Some of the people who are partnering with us on this is CCI Network, Gender Links, Soul City, BEE, Be Feminist, sorry.
Yes.
you'll remember that the founder of Be Feminist was with on our show the other day, Buhle. Not in my name always.
No, my chance and Mona Sisonke, and also have Tswaganan Legal Advocacy as well. They've asked, they're going to be part of us, and they will be taking this initiative up as well. And they want to see it happening. And we also have Youth Against Crime. Ntlantla Sithole, the chairman of Naledi Youth Crime Prevention Desk, would be coming in. The other people that we can't mention because of the sensitivities, yeah, but they are there. They are
Zandi's also follow. She's at
Country Treaty as well.
Zandi double I in.
Yeah.
That's also going to be working with us. So if you follow at Country Duty ZA, at Dumisole, at Handful_K, and any of the people that we have mentioned above, you will find all the details regarding the march as we are coming closer to it. Can we just remember to always keep in mind the people, the families that have lost loved ones, and just keep them in our thoughts, I guess.
Yeah, and 13th of June, let's keep talking, drop us ideas and suggestions, and we'll take it there. This is the Country Duty Show on cliffcentral.com. Thank you for listening. Let's continue with the discussions on Twitter, and we're signing out. Thank you.
This is cliffcentral.com.